Gibb Smith presents Wilderness Essays by John Muir, read by Stephen Brand. Introduction. It is still the morning of creation. In 1975, during spring quarter at the University of California, Davis, I taught a course for the Division of Environmental Studies called Nature Writers in 19th Century America. The final works the students read were by John Muir, The Mountains of California, and several of his essays included in this volume, 20 Hill Hollow, Wild Wood, and The Animals of Yosemite. The next weekend, the class and I traveled to Yosemite, which had provided much of the material for The Mountains of California, to look at and try to see the things that Muir had seen and described. We found a water ouzel's nest, with newly hatched young under a footbridge over the Merced River. We walked close to Yosemite Falls and found the place where Muir had once built a cabin. We saw Half Dome and climbers on El Capitan. That night, we sat atop Sentinel Dome and listened to the music of the waterfalls as the stars came out. The next morning, we had breakfast at Glacier Point and fed the birds and animals that gathered in friendly fashion around us. If we had been less inhibited, we might have exulted, as Muir once did, upon returning from a trip to the High Sierras. It is still the morning of creation. The morning stars are singing together, and all the sons of God shouting for joy. Who was this man, John Muir, whose words, written scores of years before, still had the power to move readers to try to appreciate the wonders of the world as he saw them? My own interest in Muir was rather easily explained. I had grown up on a farm in Wisconsin, not far from the region in which Muir, his parents and brothers and sisters, had cleared a homestead in the wilderness. Later, after moving to Alaska, I had traveled through the same areas to which Muir had thrilled on his early visits there, and saw the huge ice masses still sculpting the landscape, the glacier mills still grinding the rocks into soil, the mountain fountains in ceaseless flow. The air was still soft and like a poultice. The land and water still teemed with plant and animal life. Much had changed, but it was still a land John Muir would have recognized and in which he would have felt comfortable. John Muir, born in Scotland in 1838, crossed the Atlantic in a sailing ship in 1849 with his father Daniel, his brother David, and his sister Sarah. After they had settled in Wisconsin, clearing the land and building a house, the rest of the family joined them, Mrs. Muir, two brothers, and a sister. For the next 10 years, John Muir knew a life that would have been familiar to any pioneer on any of America's frontiers. Although he had attended school regularly in Scotland, there was time for only 2 months of formal education during the next decade. He was too busy with the breaking plow, chiseling a well through a thick limestone layer, and nearly losing his life when gas collected at the bottom of the excavation, and doing all the other chores normal to making a living under those circumstances. Daniel Muir believed that the good life, for his sons and daughters, consisted of long hours of hard work during the day and learning Bible verses at night. In Scotland, Muir had read whenever possible, as much as he could. And although his father believed that the Bible was the only book human beings could possibly require throughout their journey from earth to heaven, he did relent when he could be persuaded of the strong moral purpose of a work. Milton and Shakespeare were permitted, but Plutarch was forbidden until Muir suggested that the work might contain valuable dietary advice. This at a time when his father was attempting to enforce strict vegetarianism on the family. And yet life on the frontier did have its rewards. In writing of that glorious Wisconsin wilderness, in The Story of My Boyhood and Youth, Muir spoke of the sudden splash into pure wilderness, baptism in nature's warm heart, and of the lessons in nature that he and his brothers and sisters learned. These experiences became the solid background for the life he would later choose to lead. Muir left home in the autumn of 1860 without any clear purpose in mind, except to display his inventions at the State Fair in Madison. Early in 1861, just short of his 23rd birthday, he entered the University of Wisconsin after a brief preparatory course to make up for his lack of formal schooling. At the university, Muir...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?